Pronouns he and him. Larry is the first secretary of Workers' Rule Party and the theoretical leader of Workers' Rule Party. When Larry was a younger activist, he came out of the revolutionary upheavals of the 60s and 70s in the U.S. and the streets and the GI movement of young soldiers who refused to be used in the United States as cannon fodder for the ruling class, or in Vietnam. Larry stayed in the struggle, keeping a revolutionary working class perspective that is so valuable in this explosive new movement. I would like to present Larry. Larry, take it away. You can unmute. You should unmute Larry.
Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Oh, that's better. Thank you so much, Comrade Chair, and welcome to comrades and friends, both new and old. I'm going to assume that I'm speaking to a political audience, meaning activists that consider themselves socialists, anti-capitalists, because I want to raise some of the issues that this extraordinary development raises for us as we look a little bit further down the road, the significance of it for us. This is the largest uprising that we've seen over the last week, the largest uprising in this country, a national uprising against the police in U.S. history. That's quite something. All the more extraordinary, it takes place during a pandemic when we were supposed to stay home so that we would be safer. Meaning that, you know, pandemic is important, but when there's a struggle, it pushes the pandemic aside. Frankly, we don't know what's next. Will the uprising continue? It seems, if you look at what's happening as we speak, that it will. But will the curfews continue? Will the crisis in the ruling class over deploying the military, or how much of the military continue? Where will that go? Even if the struggle ends for a brief period, it's bound to break out again because something new is happening, and there'll only be a short distance between now and the next part of this uprising. Clearly, we must be concerned with all who have been arrested. There are more than 10,000 people who have been arrested. We must be concerned about a new witch hunt that some of the government would like to launch against the left, against Antifa. And we are all Antifa. We must be concerned about neo-fascist elements who have already shown up on the streets of cities with their guns. Where is that going? But most importantly, in the coming hours and the coming days, I think all of us should try to do whatever we can to support those who are in the streets and those who are in the jails. It's really a bad thing for the thousands who are in the jails during a pandemic. It's one thing not to be social distancing out in the crowd of thousands. It's another thing to be crammed into a cell for 2 or 3 days without your mask. That can really spread the pandemic. Comrades and friends, in my view, we've reached a critical bridge with this uprising against the police. It's not just the uprising. It intersects with a number of other things. Pandemic, which has been so brutal on black and brown communities, but also the entire working class. It intersects with the capitalist crisis. Tomorrow, once again, they'll announce depression level, unemployment, maybe even 20%, which I think is really probably much more than that. It intersects with sections of our class, from workers in meatpacking plants to workers at Amazon to hospital workers, rising up and holding wildcat strikes. It intersects with the growing political instability of the capitalist system and within the capitalist ruling class. Along with that, there are possible enormous changes in the demographics and the political makeup of the working class. The character of this rebellion is very different than other uprisings against the police. It is more multinational. It is not only black and brown, but there are many white young people, including white people of all generations, all nationalities of all generations. I think that this may be, to a large extent, because the capitalist crisis has forced a lot of people into the working class, including a lot of young people who have college degrees and graduate degrees and are hoping that they could find a place in the petty bourgeoisie with some comfort and stability, but find out that the crisis of global capitalism is pushing them not only into the working class, but into the gig economy, into the lower rungs of the working class with absolutely no security, no unionization, no health care. And this is part of their radicalization. This is part of their anti-capitalism and part of their anti-racism. Many of these young people don't do not as of yet see themselves as part of the working class. That's where our job comes in. We must struggle to raise the class consciousness of this new, very dynamic sector of the working class. Young workers are statistically the largest section of the working class, not only in this country, but worldwide. One of the obstacles that we have in this is that the working class movement is not as strong, either in terms of numbers and organization, or in terms of progressive and revolutionary politics. If it were, the class consciousness of these new young members of the working class would be an altogether different crisis. It would be a lot easier. But it's possible if we understand going forwards, our job is to bring these new forces into the working class movement, either through unions, but where that's not possible, through workers' assemblies, workers' councils, unemployment councils, and through joining organizations like Workers' World Party, a workers' party. It will be time for the anti-imperialist, pro-working class, anti-democratic party forces at the left. And those forces not only exist in a number of organizations, they also exist amongst individual activists by the hundreds of thousands, maybe by the millions. We must try to harness this force so that we can begin to do this work. We must open a major political struggle in the organized labor movement. And it's been long overdue. We have to stop criticizing them and sort of nipping around the edges. Now is the time to open up a big struggle with the organized labor movement. And remembering, they only represent less than 10% of the workers. So most of the workers are outside. That's part of the problem. It makes it difficult to do this job if the labor movement, especially the leadership of it, is stuck in a moderate class collaborationist tied to the Democratic Party mode that has been for generations, unfortunately. The next time that there is a rebellion against the police, against systematic racist terror, there has to be a general strike. There must be a workers' strike. For those of you who say, I've heard that before, and that's impossible because the workers' movement is just not up to that, I say this. The rebellion that we've been witnessing over the past week, who the hell thought that was possible? The fact that a police station in Minneapolis was overtaken by thousands, the police ran, and they burnt the police station down. I don't remember that happening in recent U.S. history. Some would say that's impossible. The point is, what we thought was impossible before, clearly events of the past week are showing us that it's possible. If labor does not mobilize and solidarize itself in a big way with this uprising against the police, it will help those neo-fascist forces, because they want to turn this into a race war. Nationally oppressed people fighting white people, and we want this to be a multinational class war against capitalism. Right now, the revolutionary left is still marginalized, even with the Sanders movement and some of the groups whose membership have swelled in recent years. We are marginalized regarding our size and influence. This is unacceptable, comrades and friends. It's unacceptable. It's always been that way, but especially now. This crisis is too great for us to remain marginalized. If we remain marginalized, it means that Marxism, socialism, and class struggle, class consciousness, will also be marginalized. It means that the liberal bourgeoisie will ultimately take over the leadership. And they're very good at this. They know what to say. The reverend spoke the speeches to give and how to take control of it. That's what they're paid for. It's going to be incumbent upon all of us who understand what I'm talking about, the importance of class consciousness, class orientation, and swelling the numbers of our organized class and having revolutionary potential in our mind, to step back, reassess this, understand that this is new. It's not just episodic. We must grasp the fact that this is not just one event, but it's part of the beginning of a whole new phase of the global uprising of our class. And if we do that, then we can accomplish what those of us who used to call ourselves the vanguard were charged with doing, and that is acting together in a principled way to make sure that our class gets ready to meet the task ahead of us, so that the road to revolution is not something far off in the distance that we don't see, but our work brings it on the horizon. Thank you.
If you want to just join, come in. We're trying to keep this clear because a pedicab's going to come in.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Marcus Moore. We are live here at New York City. We are in Columbus Circle, and we are right here in Central Park. NYPD rioting in, let me get a little closer, in NYPD rioting violence. That's why we are here today, here in New York City. I'm with Moore Media, Marcus Moore, Moore Media. We are here in Columbus Circle in Central Park. We're going to listen in on seeing what they're saying right now.
Response groups deployment at protests. Yes. A strategic response group was started to deal with terrorist situations, and this administration and this police hierarchy have decided to deploy them against American citizens and New Yorkers exercising our free speech rights, and that cannot stand.
Yes.
Fire Inspector John Stadamo. He leads the strategic response group. He is the one who sends them in to attack protesters. He is the one who my friend overheard in Washington Square Park on last Wednesday night speaking into a phone when the gathered protesters were still all in the park. Overheard him saying that they were going to go after them the second they got into the street. Okay? So y'all saw what the news said about that, right? Oh, somebody started a fire. Oh, they got violent. No, that was a predetermined outcome by Inspector John Stadamo and the strategic response group. Say that again, Mark.
Fancy meeting. Shocker.
Okay. Next up, eliminate the disorder control group. That's the cover group that they supposedly founded to go after protesters. We really need the response group. Next up, remove the press credentialing process from the hands of the NYPD.
Yes!
Next, and really most importantly, root out the white supremacists from the NYPD, from the Corrections Department, from all of law enforcement, and from the legal system.
Root them out!
We demand that the city council speaker, the city council, they must address this.
No text found at the 3:32. Ad flag. Recording. Ad new sound.
Every mayoral candidate must give a statement on these issues and must be held to whatever they say if they do eventually get into office. And finally, the only way we're going to get our elected officials to do anything to hold the police to account is to remove the NYPD from their security details. I want it all shifted to private security so they no longer are having to legislate or to put rules on the people who they depend on to protect their lives. That is a recipe for disaster. That is why we do not get any movement on any kind of police reform in this city.
Yes!
Right.
And of course, we all have the long-term goal, and possibly shorter midterm goal, to defund NYPD and get that money back into communities where it can actually do some good. All right, now we're about to march. There will be a fuller speak out at the end of the march. We have not announced the march endpoint publicly. The lead organizers from our many sponsoring organizations know the endpoint. You'll hear it on the roof. But right now we're going to march.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it for yourself. In NYPD rioting and violence here in New York City. So once again, I am Marcus Moore, Moore Media. Today's date is November the 14th, 2020. And now folks are starting to march through the park, Central Park. No peace, no justice. People are now marching through the park. Defund NYPD. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Marcus Moore for Moore Media. Today's date is November the 14th. We are here in Manhattan, Columbus Circle. People are marching through Central Park. No peace, no justice.